Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with you for the weekly wrap up, where we're going to be talking about some of the best moments and conversations from the week here on RHAP. And we have something very special that we're going to do here this week. We haven't done this before. There is a man who helps me out quite a bit behind the scenes on putting together the weekly wrap up every single week. He goes through the clips, he cuts them out, and here to talk about everything, it's Sam Moore. Sam, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me here, Rob. You asked, and I showed up.
Okay. I asked Sam that Sam did not ask to be on this podcast. No. He already used his Money in the Bank pass to ask to be on one podcast this year, which was that we talked about Tick, Tick, Boom.
Which was last year, not even this year.
Okay,
now.
Okay. So is this your Money in the Bank pass for the year?
You asked me, I did not ask to be on. Does that take up the Money in the Bank pass if I'm asked to be on a podcast?
I'm not sure. All right. So Sam is not a podcaster, okay?
Nope.
So please go easy on him, everybody in the comments, that he's doing his best. He's here to talk about the clips. That we're going to put
an Apple Boy 27 if you have feedback.
Yes. No, in all seriousness, this is the show where you tell us what to put on the show. Rob is at website.com/bestof. Sam gets all of the submissions. He cuts out the clips. We want to know from you, what were your favorite things every single week? I would say, if I'm going to give some feedback to the audience, I think you're doing a very good job of picking out the moments from Rob has a podcast. I think if I'm going to give some, am I allowed to give the audience feedback?
I will allow it because it will help me out immensely.
Yeah. Okay. If I was going to give some constructive criticism to the audience, I think you all need to do a better job of telling us your favorite moments from the wrap ups.
Yeah. If you put, honestly, everything that's come in so far in the last few weeks has been included here. Mm-hmm. So if you put something in, we want to include it. Rob and I listen to a lot of these podcasts, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of podcasts and we want to bring you the best of the week. So mm-hmm. we need your help.
Yeah.
Rob has a website.com/bestof.
Yeah. And I really appreciate it. I asked the patrons this week, give me your feedback on the weekly wrap up about how you're feeling, because my intention was to make something for people like, I can't get to everything. So here's the weekly wrap up. But what I was fearful of is that, did I just make another thing that people are like, I already have too much. Why are you making another podcast for me to listen to? But I got some really constructive feedback from the audience. So I really appreciate that in terms of, what people might be looking for from the weekly wrap up. And I want to make it as good as it possibly can be. And so thank you for your help always in getting this to be a better version of Rob's podcast. A big weekend also, Sam. It's going to be the 12 year anniversary of Rob's podcast on the 12th.
I know. And got some exciting events going on throughout the day on Saturday.
Yeah. If you're listening on Saturday, we're going to be doing 12 hours of Instagram Lives on the 12th of February for the 12th birthday of Rob Has a Podcast. So big week here in the podcast. Of course, a lot going on with all of the shows. This is a wild time with Survivor, Big Brother, and The Amazing Race, all with podcasting going on right now. Let's start with the Celebrity Big Brother. 5 nights a week right now, doing the Celebrity Big Brother.
We're not even halfway there. As of recording time, it's February 11th.
A lot
might be halfway with the days in the house, but not Ephesus.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a little bit of some conflicting opinions about one of the Big Brother house guests, at least as of recording time. Chris Kirkpatrick.
What a guy.
Yeah. He came up on, was it Sunday night?
It was, Sunday night's episode. And then we talked about it with Allie and Puya and Taryn and you.
Yeah. So Allie, you know, January is the hot takeoff month, but we still haven't had the 2022 version. Allie Lasher came out with one of the hottest takes of 2022 from Sunday night's recap of Celebrity Big Brother. Allie, we haven't gotten to talk to you during this Big Brother season. We would love to hear what has been your reaction so far to all of the Celebrity Big Brother 3.
This is what's great about Celebrity Big Brother is that's fair to say that you haven't gotten my reaction this season. It's been like 3 days. Mm-hmm. Like, of course not. But that's what's great about. So I was actually had dinner with Brian, the great Brian Cohen last night. And he was like, all Big Brother should be Celebrity Big Brother, which maybe doesn't sound great for you guys, but as just a generally casual audience member, Celebrity Big Brother moves super quick. The game moves aren't amazing, but they're moving, which is fun. And with 11 people, it's like, there aren't filler people that you're wasting time with week after week after week getting rid of. Like, you get right to the jugular, and that's fun to watch. It's been fun to watch. It's been fun to listen to you guys. This episode, not so much, but I'm okay with it. And I think the headline from this episode is that, like, we've all been sleeping on Chris Kirkpatrick as like kind of like a slightly hot boy member of NSYNC. I'm just saying, I'm putting that out there. Puya's not happy with it, but
I saw this blasphemy earlier tonight, and I've not been able to recover. And I'm
that's the headline. We're all sleeping. As I've been watching this, I'm like, Chris Kirkpatrick is no one's favorite member of NSYNC, right? That can't be wrong. Mm-hmm.
His family. Safe bet. Yeah, his family.
Not even his family. I've always been a Joey Fatone girl, and I took my lumps on that growing up. But I think Chris, I saw him rolling that ball in the potato challenge.
Is it the goatee? Like, what is it? Is it the patch? Like, what?
It's not that. It's in spite of that. Listen, I don't think we need to get any deeper into it. I'm just putting it out there. That's the headline.
It was very confusing.
Okay. But it's there. All right. Good to know. Wow.
That's right here. What else am I doing?
Allie always comes in with the hottest of the takes on the podcast.
That's not fair. Like 3 weeks from now, everybody's going to be like, Allie called it before we all did. But
It's happened. Boy,
it's real.
TMZ says Chris Kirkpatrick can get it. Allie said it first. That's what we need.
All right, it's looking like it's a hot boy winter, Sam.
Can't wait.
According to Allie, but
Allie says it must be true.
That is normally the rule we follow around here, but Chappelle joined me on The Slop this week, a patron exclusive. He co-hosted The Slop with me. We had a lot of fun talking through everything, all the nonsense of Celebrity Big Brother. Josh Wiggler stopped by for Wig Brother. We made Josh Wiggler watch Big Brother. Nicole Cesarino stopped by, talked about some of her encounters with a couple of the cast members. But Chappelle very much disagreed that Chris Kirkpatrick was giving hot boy, at least back then. Maybe now, not so bad.
Because things have changed in the last 20 years.
Chappelle had a lot to say about Chris Kirkpatrick's hair from the 1990s. Here is a clip from The Slop.
Rob, have you ever Googled the words Chris Kirkpatrick's hair?
Chris Kirkpatrick's hair? No.
Yes. Would you mind doing that for me right now?
Sure thing. Okay.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about his sins against humanity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris.
Because I have
Kirk
strong
Patrick's
opinions.
Hair. I heard he was giving hot boy.
He's giving something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Giving hot ass miss. Now, Chris Kirkpatrick, listen. I don't know who told you that these freestyle braids at the top of your head was appropriate. Like, I used to give Justin Timberlake a hard time because he was walking around with, like, the cornrows and
noodles.
Stuff. Listen. Chris Kirkpatrick needs his ass whooped for this. You know, Chris Kirkpatrick, you can get your ass kicked. This is what Eminem was talking about. This is the moment.
Yeah. By the way, in the Super Bowl halftime show, if Eminem gives us that lyric, I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to jump off the sofa.
We're going to clip it. Puya's going to play the sound drop. It's going to be a moment.
Nah, 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 nah. Yeah.
Oh, please don't ever perform that. This man's hair. Like I said, I don't know this man in real life. I hope to never know the person that we're looking at right now. Not saying I would not like to know Chris Kirkpatrick.
You don't like all these looks?
These are... Rob, what the hell is going on?
I feel
on?
Like that Christian in Big Brother 23 had a couple of these.
I don't think those were like that. That should have happened either. But he was wearing them kind of like it was like a joke in the house. Like everybody, it was tongue in cheek. Like Christian had braids because Tiffany was doing his hair. Chris Kirkpatrick is walking around the world like this.
Mm-hmm.
Do me a favor and scroll just a tad. You know, there's a particular one that just really offends. Oh my gosh. Give me more. Give me more, Rob. Try yellow jacket there. Look after look. Just fail. That one right
this
here.
This is it. Yeah.
Sir, are these faux locks? Did you do this? Are they different colors? Are you okay? Is he well? That's not a well individual. This is why his ranking plummeted in NSYNC. Like, he could have been a top three NSYNC person, but he has to settle for 4.5, depending on the day, with this hair. And again, seems like a nice guy. I'm actually kind of rooting for him in a way because he likes the show. And so I do want him to do well in the game.
Yeah.
Currently, he's in a bad spot for me, so I wouldn't mind if he goes home right now. But let me be very clear. The 90s Chris Kirkpatrick was a war criminal.
Yeah.
And we should hold him accountable.
Okay. All right. We still have a lot of sloppy stuff to get to, but let's go ahead.
Sloppier than his hair?
Yes.
Rob, okay. He had like the little micro braids in the back with the 27 piece in the front.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dog, we don't even wear that in the hood no more. Like he got that. Like
he missed the memo. He didn't get the memo.
He looked like the front of a Just For Me perm box. Like, it looks really bad. Like, sir, you spend every dime that you ever made for NSYNC to get those pictures stricken from the record. They don't need
to be on.
Yeah, bye. Like, you got to get rid of that, dog. Oh, my God.
All right, Sam, I want to live in a world where Chappelle and Ali are both right. Can we find the common grounds? Like, Chris Kirkpatrick had bad hair then and maybe could be giving hot man now.
Like I said, it's evolved over the last 20 years. He's refined the hair and maybe we're trending in the right direction.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this season of Celebrity Big Brother, we had two Chris's in the house. Chris Kirkpatrick, Chris Kattan. Chris Kattan left of his own volition, Chris Kirkpatrick, he doesn't want to leave.
One very sad, one not as sad.
Yeah. And so Jacob Jones was on the live feed update this Thursday, first live feed update of the season for Jacob Jones. They got to talking about saving numbers in the how did they get on this, Sam?
They were talking about how they have Chris Kattan, Chris Kirkpatrick, same first name, different last name.
Okay,
and Jacob wasn't the biggest fan of the whole last name thing.
Yeah, the whole last name thing, or putting last names in the phone. He doesn't do that.
Just last names as a general idea, I think.
Okay. All right. Here is Jacob Jones with Taryn from Thursday morning's live feed update.
With Kattan gone, there are only three options for Misha to put on the block. Since Carson and Cynthia are already on the block, Shayna has won the veto. Misha is HOH. That means that if Shayna takes Carson off the block, then Misha will have to put up either Todrick, which is not happening. Four options because Lamar is also an option. So either Todrick, which is not happening, then Lamar, Todd, or Chris Kirkpatrick, who we can now just call Chris if we want.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
This is what you were waiting for us to be able to just call one person Chris before you.
Oh, yeah. I don't like saying last names. Even when I say people's name in my phones, I don't put last names in. I know it's, you know, so crazy, but I don't. Do you have my last name saved? Or you probably don't even have my number saved.
Jacob Jones. Come on. Of course, okay. I have your number. Okay. We talked about this on the Taren show.
I know, but I don't know because, you know, you could just have my number, but not have my number actually saved. But now you're checking and now you're probably inserting my name.
I'm checking so that I can show you.
What Taren is doing, he's doing it right now. Okay. I'm impressed. But yeah, I don't like saying last names, honestly. Unless it's iconic as Jacob Jones, you know?
Yeah, I always put last names in. What if you have friends that have the same name?
Then I will put... Then they screwed. Yeah. My coworker name is Maggie and my co-host for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City podcast is Maggie Morgan. I sometimes text Maggie Morgan. I sometimes text my coworker Maggie, hey, are we still on for 8 o'clock?
And she says, what?
It is, but I won't fix it.
Oh boy.
So Jacob Jones isn't going to put your last name in his phone, Sam, but I guess I wonder, what does Jacob Jones do if he becomes friends with somebody who goes by their last name, as we commonly see on Survivor, i.e. Voce?
What about Chappelle?
What about Chappelle? Maybe he goes by his, that's a good question to find out.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of Survivor, we got the release of the Survivor 42 cast this week. So we are less than 4 weeks away from the start of Survivor 42. Mike and I went live. Mike Bloom and I went live on Wednesday afternoon to react to the cast being announced. And then we made the first of three podcasts that we're going to be doing here in the month of February, talking about the three different tribes. On Thursday afternoon, we talked about the Ika tribe, and we got to talking about how a lot of the players in this season have talked about how that they are, you know, basically their adversity in life has prepared them for Survivor. And Mike asked me if I thought that was actually something that was an apt comparison for Survivor in this clip from the Ika tribe preview from Thursday.
I mean, Rob, what do you make of the argument? Because again, this will also be something we'll hear a lot from these contestants of like, I've been playing Survivor my entire life.
It's like they always say in Canada, right?
Yeah, exactly. Again, it's one of the 10 Canada manments, if you will, that came down from the mountaintops of the Yukon.
When you're going through a hard time, it's like you're playing Survivor.
Now, look, obviously, I think you are coming from a position in your own life where you weren't necessarily like, I've been playing Survivor every day of my life. But like from your own perspective, do you feel like the hustle you might gain from some of these more unfortunate situations directly apply to a game like Survivor?
Well, let me just quickly set the record straight. I love playing Survivor. When I am having a terrible day, I'm not like, this is like playing Survivor. I'm like, no, I wish I was playing Survivor. This stinks.
Yeah, going on a cruise is fun. So is playing Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah, I have nothing to do all day on Survivor. I wish I was playing Survivor today. I've got a ton of stuff to do. This is horrible.
I wish Survivor's a vacation for me.
Survivor, you have to do one thing. Don't get voted out. That's it. Survivor's easy.
Wow. Hot take coming
Survivor's
out
Survivor's
right
easy.
Now.
Life is hard.
Hotter than a fireman challenge.
Why do you think all these people want to go on Survivor during a pandemic? Because life is hard. Survivor's easy. Think about it.
I mean,
Survivor's
I guess
a vacation. Sorry, I Keith mean, Nail. Guess, you're wrong. I guess, Survivor's great. I guess so. Life sucks.
Etch that in stone. Cross stitch it on a pillow. Survivor's easy. Life sucks. Rob Cesternino 2022.
Your worst day on Survivor is better than your best day in real life.
Yeah,
not quite.
They should have flown you out there, Rob, to give like the, I know that Jeff gives the pat. You're like, all right, this is the scared straight program for Survivor. You're going to have the time of your life.
No, I'll say that there's like, look, there are times when like the absolute lowest lows on Survivor can be worse than you're like, you know, you sort of like being like rained on, haven't slept in like 36 hours. Yeah, that's not great. But the majority of the time is not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally, if you talk about your Survivor experience, it is difficult, but often enlightening. I think maybe we don't see the forest for the trees in life and don't necessarily talk about that necessarily.
Right. But the people that talk about like I had this really tough upbringing. I immigrated to the United States. I grew up in South Central Los Angeles at the age of five. Like, that's going to be way harder than anything on Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. Considering that, again, that was an everyday thing. I know.
Ooh, I have to say the secret phrase today. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also, I think, this idea of like a light at the end of the tunnel when playing Survivor as well, right? Of like, if I can just push through, you know, however many more days, then I'll be able to eat that pizza and be able to fly home at anything. Whereas if you're living it, day to day, there is less of an end in sight. Again, as we have experienced over the past couple of years, tougher to see the end goal when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah. So as far as like the hardness of Survivor, if you had a tough upbringing, Survivor is going to be a cakewalk.
All right. Well, that's perhaps good news for Romeo, it seems.
Yeah. That's my advice for all the Survivor players. Like, you got this. It's fine. You'll be fine. Okay. I stand by it, Sam. People clamor to play Survivor. People don't clamor for adversity in their lives.
I mean, out of the two people on this podcast, we have cumulatively two seasons of Survivor played. So we know what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay. So check out that Ica Tribe preview. That was very fun with Mike to listen to the interview that Mike got with those six members of the Ica Tribe. We will get into the second tribe, Taku Tribe. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday. I got to speak with Mike Bloom again on Thursday on the amazing Race for Hap Up with myself and Mike and Jessica Leese, and we talked about a not so exciting leg of the amazing race. Once again, we were in Corsica on the amazing race, and the teams were working on tying up some holes in fishing nets. And of course, Penn and Kim, they've been a standout team so far on this season of the amazing race. Penn had to do the roadblock, and to do the roadblock, he needed to wear his special set of glasses. Here is myself and Mike and Jess talking about Penn's glasses from the amazing race this week.
Let me also just say, I know Penn is incredibly self-deprecating, right? I love his comment about how he has to put his glasses on every time Ryan and Dusty take their shirts off to make the balance in the force. But I gotta say, I don't know, maybe like it's my own aesthetic. I think Penn looks really good in those glasses.
You like the glasses. Okay.
I really like those glasses. Like, that's actually my preferred style of glasses, is like that thick rim. Like, I have blue light glasses, and I specifically requested that style. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the long face. I just really like the thick framed glasses.
Okay. I actually have a pair of those. I just couldn't find them this morning, so I have different ones on.
Yeah. Yep. Here's what Penn said. He said that.
Yeah. I mean, these things have come in handy for the ladies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I actually don't know what he means.
I don't like Amazing Race porn music.
Just like second week in a row, right?
Put that back on the show anymore. Three is not the charm.
Did they borrow that music from like Survivor rib music?
Well, I don't know. Well, Rob, if you play it again, does it not sound like the beginning of Freak?
Yeah, I mean, these things have come in handy for the ladies, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And doesn't then it kind of sound like it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see. Okay, here we go.
Man. You are free, I'm a free, let's get freaky all week. You are free, I'm a free. It don't have to be me. You are free. I'm a freak.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes if you're a freak, you do know how to tie knots.
Fair point, Rob.
Yeah. Of course, you can check out more of our Amazing Race coverage by listening to the full recap of the Amazing Race, and check out the freakiest freak, Bryce Isaiah, every week on the Purple Pants podcast.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Amazing Race is, I think, starting to come into the home stretch.
I think three more weeks. Three more weeks to go. Okay. All right. I'm very excited about a brand new podcast that we are launching this week. Love is Blind is coming back to Netflix for season number 2. And I'm very excited about our new podcast coverage of Love is Blind with Asia Welch and Mary Kwiatkowski. They are going to be recapping Love is Blind. They're dropping a batch of episodes every Friday on Netflix here for the next couple of weeks. Asia and Mary are going to get together, I believe, on Sundays to bring you a recap of everything that's going on for the week. Now, I haven't caught the new episodes that dropped today on Netflix. Looking forward to that. But I did go back and take a look at a lot of the highlights from season 1 in a podcast we did to talk about why people should be checking out Love is Blind. And Asia and Mary told me about one specific woman who had some unusual habits about her pet in season 1 of Love is Blind when we talked about why you should check out Love is Blind.
I'm not sure if this was in the highlights you saw, Rob, but one interesting thing that Jessica had that went pretty viral on social media was she was having a conversation with Mark, drinking a glass of wine.
Oh, yeah.
And then
decided
to share it with her dog.
Yes. Asia, do you share any alcoholic beverages with Pepper?
I do not. Pepper has not had a lick of alcohol.
Well, she's not old enough, right? She's got to be 3.
And if that were ever the case, but no, I would never give her anything. But if I were ever to, hey, let's share water, she would not be drinking out of my water glass.
Yeah, this was wild, right? Because she had like a glass of red wine and then she just like holds it like low enough so like the dog can like stick its like, it's not like that she like has like a little like a doggy like a wine glass that she pours it into. She lets the dog sit, like, forget wine. Imagine you were drinking a glass of water. You would never like let your dog like stick its like big slobbery tongue into the same glass. And maybe, Mary, because this is alcohol, maybe the alcohol is going to kill some of the bacteria. I don't know.
My two favorite parts of this are, one, the fact that they're having a super like serious conversation while this is happening, and her mind is so not on it because she says, it's not even like she just reaches down, she goes, he just loves wine. Like, as if this is a common occurrence. She does this often.
Yes.
So she says that. And also, it's like, imagine, Rob, if you're like, you know, I really think that the most serious part of our relationship, our big issues, blah, blah, blah. Oh, she just loves wine. Sorry, what were you saying? Like, just not paying attention and calls out the fact that her dog, this is a common occurrence. Those are my favorite parts.
Yeah,
Jessica, it wasn't an enigma.
Yes, it wasn't the first time. And that's when I knew I can't trust this woman, because that just was not something you do.
Right. And not to mention, like, this is red wine. Like, I don't know what the carpet situation was in the house, but you like let your dog stick its muzzle in a glass of red wine. That's it. Forget it on the carpet.
It's a white dog, too. I feel like you're getting like stainage on the dog.
There's so many things wrong with this that it's hard to focus on one. And it's just like the fact that she thought this was okay.
Yeah.
It explains her behavior the rest of the season.
You know, Sam, it's very hard to get red wine stains out of a dog.
Yeah, I assume so. Rob, I know you're about to be a new dog owner. Mm-hmm. What's the deal with you and wine and the dog?
Yeah, I think I have a no wine for the dog policy. At least, for the record, it's not even legal until the dog is 3 years old. I mean, I think those are the rules. Yeah.
But, all right, I'll mark down the date 3 years from now, 2025. We'll do a check-in just to be sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Check out the Love is Blind wrap-up feed. That is going to be in a feed with the Married at First Sight episodes that Asia and Jason are doing. We're calling it the Love at First Sight podcast feed. Go to robswebsite.com/firstsightfeed to subscribe to that. Okay. And the first episodes of the Love is Blind season 2 coverage should be dropping Sunday night. Over on the Drag Race wrap up, Liana, Amon, and Beth were trying to identify a sound effect that they heard in the show. Amon really wanted to figure out where the sound effect came from, even though Liana had moved on to another subject in the show. This is a funny moment of when Amon is able to figure out the sound effect. Maybe after the conversation has moved on in this clip from Drag Race.
Yep. All right. Well, unfortunately, despite her best efforts, Orion gets sent home. So we are, and Chocolate, which, by the way, I feel like it's the Among Us noise that they play after so they say it's just chocolate. And it's like, whatever that is. The one other thing I do want to talk about, and I'm happy that they shared this, was Willow's story with more learning more about her her kidney disease. And I thought that that was something that was
I just looked at the episode when she cooks up the chocolate. It is the Among Us noise.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
I was like, why are you laughing? Wait,
what happened? Did you say something really serious and I laughed?
I was talking about Willow and she had a transplant and you were like, ha! Huh? Oh my God.
You horrible, horrible man.
Do we need like sensitivity training for Amon? Like, we have a course we need to put you in.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was looking at the episode. I'm sorry. I looked at the I feel for you, Willow. I swear I wasn't laughing.
Oh my God. It's like she feels her body degrading. Her muscles are atrophying. Amon, ha! In the background.
I want to go back. I can't wait to watch this on the YouTube page and go back and look at the three.
Oh, Lord.
That was a hearty laugh, too. I was amused.
That was.
All right. There you go. Very relieved that that was not what Amon was cracking up about.
Yeah. And I will say we do have video for that. If you check out Beth Dixon's Twitter at AugustaWind11, she put the clip together on this one. In the middle there, we edited out a couple minutes where they were going on about some other stuff. So just wanted to give you the Amon definitely not laughing at anybody's kidney disease.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. So check out Drag Race wrap up coverage every week in our Drag Race feed. Sam, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the wild world of 90 Day Fiance that you won't believe what Gino tried to pull this past week on 90 Day Fiance. Puya and I are going to have a lot to say about the saga of Jasmine and Gino on 90 Day Fiance. 90 Day Fiance, of course, it is a race to the bottom every week to find out who might be the dumbest person every single week on this show. We have followed all season long the saga of Gino and Jasmine. Gino, I believe, is in his early 50s. Jasmine, she is in her mid-30s. She lives in Panama. She might be a personal trainer. Either way, that she has been a little bit jealous of Gino, and she's checking his phone all the time, and somehow this idiot ended up sending some of Jasmine's NSFW photos to his ex-wife, and Jasmine discovers this. She is not happy with Gino, and she is just going off on Gino in this clip from 90 Day Fiance before the 90 days. Here's Puya and I reacting to Jasmine just tearing Gino to shreds, and for good reason. In this film, they're on this vacation. They're on this trip together. And Jasmine, she pivots because she says, you know, she's like, she walks out, she's done with this guy. She's like, no, I'm not done with him. I need to confront him and cause him as much pain as he has caused me. And I was like, all right, let's go.
Yes. Yes, Jasmine. Do it.
Yes,
do it
for queen.
Us. Do it for you.
Do it. Destroy him. Destroy Gino.
And boy, did she destroy him, Rob.
And boy, did they make us wait, because this was the opening scene. And then we had to wait an hour and a half to get back to seeing Jasmine,
the last
and,
scene,
and Gino. But it was so great. It was almost like in like Game of Thrones, where Sansa is like has the chance. Like she comes back in the room with Ramsay Bolton after he was horrible to her, and then like he's tied up. It's like, okay, now the shoe is on the other foot.
Mm-hmm.
Time to get destroyed, Gino.
And when these moments happen on shows after watching, you know, the person in pain, it feels really great to see the one in the wrong get their world of hurt come at them.
Mm-hmm.
And Jasmine brought the world of hurt, Rob. We got so much more revealed here from the messages than just the fact that he had sent nudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on top of the photo, which I think that Gino, it looks like next week, tries to say, well, you were topless, but that wasn't nude, a nude photo, which I think.
Yeah.
Okay, let it go, Gino.
Stop talking. You've made your bed, lay in it, because you will not be able to get out of this bed. It's over for you.
Yeah. And so he, I guess, was like talking about that she blows her top. And he's just like, no, that was a joke. He jokes about that. It was a joke.
Yeah, I was joking about you having a temper and you know, yelling and being a nuisance. I was definitely kidding. It was funny.
And she says, oh, well, that was so hilarious, Gino. What a hilarious joke.
You're so funny.
Funny.
Would love to read that. If the person you're with, you find messages of them messaging anybody, not just especially their ex, of them saying, you know, you have a temper and you are this, you are that. And these are your deepest insecurities that you have actively said you're working on at this trip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be big mad too.
Yes, yes. She said on this trip, which again, I don't know. Like, I would say it was a long con, but I'm not necessarily sure Jasmine could keep her composure to then like set him up like this.
I'm taking her word as the truth here in that this was happening while they were at this trip, which again is so much worse. It's so much worse. The fact that you're in this trip, you've escaped reality, you're hanging out together. Why are you even messaging anyone else is beyond me.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Jasmine decides, you know what? I can't be here with you. I need a new room, which, you know, think about the financial aspect of this. Is Gino paying for this new room? Because I feel like the mini bar is going to get hit pretty hard.
Yeah, Gino may never financially recover this trip.
He may never recover, period.
Yeah, yeah. But she deserves this.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. She tells him, you're a effing loser. This is BS. She goes to her bags. She's putting her things together. She goes to the toothbrush, Puya.
You know, she got one present outside of this trip. She got one gift from Gino. And it was this electric toothbrush. Rob, she took it. She tied the wires up, opened the door, chucked it into the woods.
Yeah. And Gina says, what did you just throw out the door? She said, garbage.
I'm not going to lie to you. I did not expect the toothbrush to come back into the story. I thought we were done with the toothbrush.
So earned.
Yeah.
But, you know, great sort of like Chekhov's toothbrush that we just built to this. No 90 Day Fiancé this week because of the Super Bowl. So Puya and I will be back in 2 weeks to talk about 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. That on Thursday night, I got back together with Jenny Autumn to talk about Joe Millionaire, and I was worked up, Sam. I was not happy.
They are trying their best on Joe Millionaire, and we're just here to enjoy it, Rob. Just take it all in.
No, 6 weeks of watching Joe Millionaire, and
only four left.
Four weeks left. 4 weeks left, and they are really trying me because they gave us the challenge that I thought was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on television. Here is Jenny Autumn and I talking about this challenge where the two Joes are going to compete against each other for the first time this season on Joe Millionaire. Yeah. So, all right. This is the dumbest competition that we've ever seen.
We got Martin Probst.
Yeah. And this includes all of the seasons of Survivor, Big Brother, The Amazing Race, every other show that I've ever watched. This was the dumbest challenge that there ever was. Okay, let me explain the challenge, because there's a lot of people that just listen to the podcast and don't watch the show.
Yeah, let's go through
it. Okay. All right. This is a little bit of an obstacle course, okay? This challenge starts with, we're going to test both sides of the Joe Millionaire. Because like a gold coin, every Joe Millionaire has two sides.
Yeah.
A rich side, for richer and for poorer.
Or poorer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this competition will test your richer side and your poorer side.
I guess.
Yeah. Because everybody knows, if you're wealthy, you know how to open champagne and pour it. Mm-hmm. And if you're poor, not P-O-U-R, like the champagne, if you're poor, you know how to throw hay.
You've thrown a hay bale no matter what.
Yes.
No matter what city you're from, if you are poor, you have thrown hay bales.
That's right. Okay, so this challenge starts with, on go, throw 7 bales of hay. Where? Wherever. Just throw them. Just get them out of here. Get this hay out of here, poor person.
Like, the thing that's wild to me is, like, they brought this hay in from somewhere.
Yeah.
Like they're not on a farm. They brought the hay in. Like, I don't even think there was a farm anywhere near where this was filmed.
Yeah.
And they just brought the hay
in. Get some hay in here. A rich person won't even know how to move a bale of hay.
Yeah. They won't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Then there's a giant tire. Flip it over 3 times.
How do you think they came up with the numbers? Like, okay, so the hay bale, throwing it 7 hay bales.
Yes.
And the tire 3 times. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think there's any sort of special meaning here?
I don't know.
Completely arbitrary.
I'm not sure. Let's say maybe add up all the numbers. yeah. And Martin also said, then you'll flip the tire over 3 times.
3. There's a game within a game here, I'm thinking.
Then you're going to pop open 10 bottles of champagne.
Okay, we've got 7, 3, 10. Okay.
Okay. Then you're going to pour all this pyramid of champagne glasses. Fill them all up.
And to be fair, they weren't like typical champagne glasses. I don't really know what kind of glasses
they were. Probably glued together.
Yo, definitely. There's no way. And they were definitely dollar store plastic.
Yes,
like,
yes.
They were.
And glued together.
They were, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Then after that, you'll take a sledgehammer. And with this sledgehammer, for some reason, you will smash 5 watermelons.
Yes. What a life you lead here in the Big Brother house.
What a
life we lead in Lakeshore Manor.
What the hell are we doing?
I don't know.
What part of being rich or poor do you smash 5 watermelons with a sledgehammer?
They lost me there. I did not know what
the hell. What the hell is this? Why?
Why? Okay, in the very first episode we covered, I said that these two gave me Jackson Mickey and Jack from Big Brother 21 vibes. I'm just saying.
Why?
The watermelon might mean something, okay?
Why smash watermelons? And then, maybe the dumbest part of the entire thing. And then, at the end, put on a tuxedo as fast as you can. Why? It was like, no mirror? What are you doing?
The true sign of being rich is getting into your tuxedo
as fast as possible.
And the crown that they had to put on at the end was the cheapest dollar store shit I've ever seen in my entire life. It was like the equivalent of like the plastic tiara when like, you know, in like college, like a bunch of drunk girls would go out for like someone's birthday. Like it looked worse than that.
Yeah. It's a bachelorette party.
Yeah. It's bad. Like they couldn't even make it look good. It was so bad.
Yeah. It's a bachelorette party for like Brianna's wedding.
Yeah. Honestly, the whole competition. That would make sense. That's the setting up for all of these things happening.
Sam, we're 6 weeks into Joe Millionaire. I still don't know what the show even is.
Do you think
what are they trying?
The
no, I don't think so. Either way, we still got four more weeks. They're going to meet their families coming up. It should be wild way or another.
Can't wait.
Catch Jenny Autumn and I talking about Joe Millionaire. That's in the Rob is a Podcast main feed. Okay. This week, got to talk about Murderville. Sarah Carradine and Mari Forth joined Chappelle and I this week to talk about the brand new Netflix series Murderville. Will Arnett has a celebrity partner that does not have the script, and it's an improvised series that there are some high highs, even when, you know, not every episode is an absolute home run. And we were talking about, though, at the end of the show, what we should we cover next? Spoiler alert, it's going to be the Tinder Swindler. Very excited about that. We're going to talk about that on Nothing But Netflix coming up this weekend. Asia Welch, Sasha Joseph are going to join us for that one. But there was some talk about, should we cover, Sam, what is the name? The woman at the end of the street with the house by the window?
I didn't know this is going to be a
Kristen
pop
Bell.
Quiz. There's no way I'm supposed to know this title.
Yes, you're giving Hold Cameron on. Vibes right now.
I know. The woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window.
Okay.
I would have gotten that.
All right. Sarah Carradine says, no, do not podcast about that. And she has a very specific reason why. Here is Sarah Carradine with Mari Forth, Chappelle and I on Nothing But Netflix talking about Murderville.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if there's a demand for the people across the street in the window upstairs, like I said, I watched the first couple episodes and I know Rob would have a lot to say.
Why?
This is foolishness.
Okay. I'd be mad?
Yeah. You should be.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then.
What a waste of resources.
Sarah Carradine's okay. SC says don't do it. Okay.
Of it's just like, who is this for? Actor. Okay. Who is it for? And the worst thing is you can see the bits that are supposed to be funny and they're so monumentally unfunny.
Mm-hmm.
And what really, really exploded my head, and I had to message Chappelle and go, whoa, is at the very end, this doesn't spoil anything, at the very end someone says on an airplane, you're in my seat, I have 2A, and the person is sitting on the aisle. Everybody knows that 2A is a window seat, and it's such a small thing, but it absolutely, I went through the roof. There's now a hole in my roof. Because it's like, why can't you? It's like, it's so small. It's
Sarah,
and it's so obvious. But
is that really a big deal, though?
Is that a thing? I didn't
it's
know.
Is that a thing?
I was trying to think about why is it a huge deal? Why is it a huge deal? It's because you, the creator, have asked me to come into this world. So the creators of Murderville say, come into this world. Believe that there's this detective called Senior Detective Terry Seattle. Believe that there are a series of people who are coming in as trainee detectives who have to be coached along and for some reason find things funny that are not funny. I believe it. I come with you. You take me into a world that you create, that you maintain, that you don't break through. I'm in it. I love it. If you want me to believe in a quasi-realistic suburban world where these things really happen and these people have these real emotions, there were other problems with it, which I won't go into, and then you say that seat 2A is an aisle seat when everybody knows it's a window seat.
Right.
You have broken that world. Right. You have said, you know how this world I wanted you to know all about? It's actually garbage. So don't believe in this world.
Yeah. So you,
because I wondered why it agitated me so much. I don't know if the listeners can tell, but I'm a little bit agitated about CQA.
Okay. So it totally took you out of the woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window that they mislabeled the airplane seats.
That's
a tie. Now, Sim, I know we're going to get a lot of people now saying, like, no, you have to cover the girl who lived in the house across the street from the neighbor by the window. But Sarah Carradine says, no, they are mislabeling the airplane seats.
Sarah has spoken. Yes. What are we supposed to do?
Yes. Okay. We did get that a couple of times this week. No, you should cover it. No. Sarah said not to do it. I trust Sarah. Okay.
Yep. I watched Tinder Swindler. It's going to be a great podcast.
Yes, yes. We're not going to miss the girl across the street from the house with the window. Okay. All right.
Bethany.
This week, then, on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, something that people had asked us to watch for a very long time, Cats. Almost 2 years.
Right. We know the name on this one. Just
yes.
One word.
Yes. 2 years in the making. Watch 2019 Cats. And Akiva put it off, didn't want to put it on the wheel, finally came up in the crappy movie diaper. And to celebrate, finally, Cats coming to Rob Has a Podcast and Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. I was so excited to talk to Uncle Kiwi about Cats that I was just taken over by the spirit of Andrew Lloyd Webber's classic Cats. Here is the start of Rob and Akiva Watch Cats.
Akiva, all alone in his hotel, while he waits for the old word, eating food in his bed. After 2 years of his content procrastinating, he will finally watch Cats sing.
Yes!
I shed a tear.
Finally! It's happening! What the jellicle did I just watch?
I do think I have a note that says jellicles, like the word jellicle is the worst word I think that's ever been invented. It like makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know what jellicles are? That's
oh, a worst word tournament ever on 32 fans? A worst
yeah,
word
we talked
draft?
About it. Yeah. We talked about it. But Chester's words were so bad in the best word tournament that he may have already like spoiled the worst word.
Episode 162. We're talking Cats. That's right.
Yeah, I think we procrastinated. We pushed this off for essentially 3 years from or 2 years and change, but from December 2019. Mm-hmm. That song was beautiful.
Thank you.
I was crying a little bit. I mean, that would have been the best song in the movie Cats. That's for sure.
Sam, I know you've said that Cats is the greatest musical of all time. Did we do justice to your favorite, The Goat?
Well, I think what I said was the Cats podcast was one of my favorites of all time.
Got it.
Not the Cats movie. And they are cats. Cats can't be goats.
Got it. So. Got it. Okay. Come on. All right. So episode 164 of Renap is around the corner. Of course, this week we're going to talk about Robin Akiva write a children's book. Look for that Saturday night. Next week will be episode number 164, which happens to be Akiva's high game at bowling, 164. And that got us talking on this week's Patron 5 for 5 about whether or not Nicole might be able to beat Akiva in bowling. And Nicole had an interesting story about her experience with bowling. Again, another patron exclusive here. A little clip from this past week's patron, 5 for 5. Tommy Kwan wants to know, could Nicole beat Akiva in a bowling match? Do you want to know what Akiva's high score is?
What is it?
164.
Nicole back in the day might have been able to beat him. Nicole now, no.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's his average.
Yeah, that's his high score.
Yeah, high score ever.
Oh, he sucks.
Well, what's your high score?
I've gotten high 200s.
High 200s?
I took a two bowling classes in college.
Wait, is that like what, like 250? I mean, high 200s implies over 250.
There was a time in college.
Are you in the Professional Bowlers Association?
There was a time in college where I was really good. Maybe not high 200s, but it was 200s.
Okay. Oh, you broke 200.
Consistently.
Yeah. But that your average was over 200?
I don't think I ever did my average, but I consistently scored.
So you were a collegiate bowler, but you didn't know, your average was unknown.
You think I paid attention to that?
I think that's kind of the thing.
I didn't do it for competition. I just did it because I needed a gym class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. This story's changed. I went from, I got high 200s to over 200 to, I don't know what my average is.
Maybe it was like 118. I don't remember.
Or now it's, maybe it was 118.
No, it was. I was good in my college class. Like,
could you beat Akiva in bowling?
Not currently.
How do you know? You think he's bowling?
I don't know.
He's not bowling that often.
Okay. Well, I neither am I.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that'd I
used to be very good because my teacher taught us.
Akiva says he doesn't get a lot of strikes; he gets a lot of spares.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks for him.
Okay. You know, Sam, my wife is not a liar. Okay,
no, definitely not.
Like, I'm sure she believes that she bowled in the high 200s and consistently broke 200 at bowling. There's no way that this is possibly true.
Nicole said it. She doesn't lie. Nicole is getting close to 300 every game.
I think she's confused. She's not. Again, she's not a liar. Believe me, she's not trying to impress me. Okay. But yeah, I mean, this is that one of the most implausible things I've ever heard in my life.
I don't know. I'm on Nicole's
side. I've been bowling with Nicole. It's not like, oh my God, damn. Nicole is like bowling is like, it's like riding a bicycle.
Well, Rob, are you so good at bowling? Could you bowl 200?
No, I couldn't. But I feel like if I used to be able to bowl 200, it's not like bench, but like I used to bench 240, but now I can, you know, I think it's sort of muscle memory unless you've had some injury.
Well, let's put the bumpers up and we'll see.
I don't think you go from I was an amazing bowler. I was bowling almost perfect games to I forgot how to bowl.
And it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long COVID.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Nicole may never set foot in a bowling alley ever again.
Oh, yeah. You got to touch the bowling balls. Eh?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. Okay. Sam, that's the weekly wrap up. Did you like being here for this?
Yeah, no, this is fun.
Give me your feedback. Do you like having Sam on this, or should Sam not be on the weekly wrap up?
If you like it, feel free to at me. If you don't like it, Pineapple Boy 27.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need to know.
Well, don't hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to tag Sam. You could just let me know. Subtweet Sam. Let me know if you like having Sam here on the weekly wrap up.
And I do want to be tagged on the positive feedback. I love boosting my ego.
Yeah. I mean, you could tag him on and tag Sam on the positive feedback and subtweet him on the negative feedback. Okay.
Thank you. But somebody still send me the negative feedback because I want to know that it's out there.
Okay. All right. At RHAP Grams on Saturday, if you're listening to this, is when it first gets dropped. And then it's going to be another fun week. Make sure you are in on all of the fun. robiswebsite.com/subscribe, robiswebsite.com/patron for everything going on in our patron community. Sam, am I leaving anything out?
At Sam Moore, RHAP for positive feedback.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to another week of the weekly wrap up. Got a lot more fun coming your way this week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.